Internet. I'm your husband, host, Travis McElroy.
And I'm your wife, host, Teresa McElroy.
And you're listening to Schmanners.
It's Extraordinary Etiquette.
For Ordinary Occasions. Hello, my dove.
Hello, dear.
How are you?
Oh, you know, a little tired, I guess. But
yeah.
I'm ready. I'm ready.
A little bit of the seasonal stuffies.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, nothing gets my goat going.
I don't think that's it.
Is that?
I don't think people talk about how I really got my goat going. I think got my goat, to talk about idioms, is normally a bad thing, which I assume it's because like a troll came along and stole your goat, and you're like, oh, I'm mad. But maybe gets me going or gets my engine going.
Okay.
Yeah, because I also don't think anyone's ever said, oh, that really got my engine in a mad way. But I liked the combination. Nothing gets me fired up. How about that one?
How about that one? That one's fine. I'll accept that. I'm still taking notes on goat, though.
Notes on goat. Goat notes. because it's Max Fun Drive. That's what we didn't get to.
Oh,
it's Max Fun Drive.
Yes.
It's Max Fun Drive week one. And many would argue that's the first week of Max Fun Drive. And what is Max
What's the
Fun?
Other argument? That it's not the not first week?
Some people would call it the penultimate week. And then the ultimate week is the second.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
See, you could also say that the first week is the second to last week of Max Fun Drive.
How else could you say it?
You could also say that it is the primary week. You could say it's the warm-up week. You could say it's the starter week. You could say it's the opening act. You could say, this here's the week. I ran out. So Max Fun Drive, to put it short and sweet, is the once a year, 2 week period where we Max Fun hosts come to you and ask you to consider supporting the art and artists you love by going to MaximumFun.org/join and pledging a monthly support level that is right for you. You can start as low as $5 a month. And then that money, 70% of it goes directly to the podcasters and podcasts that you love and support and want to continue to exist. The rest of it goes to Max Fun so that they can continue to exist and keep their lights on, but literally keep their lights on and pay their staff and all that stuff. And you get rewards. Starting at just $5, you're going to get access to over 350 hours of bonus content.
That's what I'm here for, the BOCO.
You love that BOCO. It's audio and video and stuff from each show from every year we've ever done a Max Fun Drive. This year, our Schmanners bonus episode is all about time travel etiquette. And so if you've ever thought, I want to hear Travis's thoughts not only on time travel movies, but also on the theoretical possibility of time travel and how he thinks time works, oh boy, howdy, have I got a treat for you. MaximumFun.org/join. And because it is Max Fun Drive, we thought we would kick it off with some of our favorite of the episodes, idioms.
Rumor has it, this is idiom episode 10.
Oh, look, can we call it Idiom X?
Okay.
Idiom X. That's the new
Idiom Xtreme.
They just announced the new Fast and Furious movie. It's called Fast X. So that's what got me thinking about it, which to me sounds a little bit like a laxative, but that's just me.
Like Gas X. Oh,
yeah,
no.
Like Fast X. Having problems? Try Fast X. Okay. What's our first one, my love?
This one is part of the collection that Alex has been keeping tabs on in her phone since 2018.
Oh, okay.
Even keel.
Okay, so even keel means like you're going to... the hardest part of idioms is always trying to summarize an idiom without using an idiom.
Exactly.
Because I almost said like you're going to stay on the straight and narrow. But even keel means like you're going to stay focused. You're going to be on good behavior. You're going to keep moving, like moving the project forward or be responsible. Basically, it's like they did a good job, right? They kept the thing on an even keel.
It has to do with stability.
Yeah.
Right?
There we go.
So calm and stable. And here's the thing. A keel is a real thing. It's a thing, a boat thing. So it's the bottom supporting structure that keeps the vessel level, right? When it's afloat.
Yes.
So there's
The point. If you picture there's like a point at the bottom of the boat, right, where it like connects together in the middle at the bottom, that's the keel.
Right. And it must be even and not wavy, because that doesn't do its job, right? It's got to even so that it keeps the boat steady.
It also is where the term keel haul comes from, and that's a little bit of a darker pirate thing, but so I don't need to go into it. But if you like dark pirate stuff and you're like, I want to see a gruesome pirate thing, you can look up keel haul. But don't do it if you don't want to see gruesome pirate stuff. I can't warn you enough.
Oh, boy. That's, that's not cryptic enough.
Oh, no.
Please be more cryptic.
Oh, maybe it has to do with birds? I don't know.
No, stop it.
Okay.
The next one.
I've never thought about it, but I use this one a lot. Hissy fit, right? And I...
Are you looking at the notes?
Yeah.
You never look at the notes.
I know, but I've decided to really care on Max Fun Drive. So hissy fit, right? I thought that this was I didn't think it was a McElroy thing only, but I did think it was very regional, right? Like, is hissy fit as universal? I don't know. But
no, I mean, I have definitely heard hissy fit on movies and TV.
Okay, so it's like throwing a tantrum, right?
Yeah, it's possible that it is a shortening of the phrase hysterical, which I do not like. Yeah. But it also, many etymologists think that it could also be very literal, hissing, mm-hmm. like a cat would hiss. And so maybe that's why what they're doing when they are so mad and upset in the way a cat would.
Hysterical is the very outdated term that like people used. I know that it's like they used for like women who were quote unquote acting up, but wasn't it like literally like, well, I believe their uterus is moving around their body and it's making them hysterical. Is that
yes,
right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So the ancient Greeks believed that the uterus was not like, I mean, they didn't understand
anything?
Bodies.
Okay.
So, like, the organ of the uterus, the womb, was thought to migrate throughout the body.
Just bounce around.
Just kind of move around according to her whims. And so, when she was hysterical, it was out of place.
Okay. And, man, you know, listen, not to dip into Sawbones territory, but there must have been people during that time that were like, I don't think that's it, but I don't care. Because there's no way everyone went, yes, that's it. Yes, absolutely. Okay, what's the next one?
Is going whole hog or whole ham.
Or John Ham. Now, this is from JG. I've never heard whole ham, but whole hog is like going all the way as like lavish or I don't want to say to the extreme, because I always think of it as like, we're going to be as, you know, like we're going to spend a bunch of money or going to go to extreme measures to make this party a success or whatever, right? There's a certain lavish quality to it.
I mean, I'm sure that there is. I mean, definitely. Yes, there is a very lavish quality to it, but I also think it is about to the limit, right? So
you are
doing everything as far as it possibly can be taken, right? Because if you're going whole hog, you are using quite literally every piece of the pig, right?
Oh, okay.
In a very butcher type term. And nowadays, butchers don't use every single piece. Like, hooves are often just tossed at this point, but they used to even use the hooves to boil for jelly and things like that.
Yeah.
So like, when you do that, you can go all the way to its limit.
Snout to tail.
And I have also never heard go ham, but I mean, I think that that's just...
No, I've heard go ham.
Okay.
I've heard go ham is like, people say like they went wild or like, did you... I always for some reason think about it in terms of like sports, where it's just like that player just like lit up and was just like on it and like was all over. They went, you know, they went ham on it and like went wild on it kind of thing.
Well, so does that does that connotation mean that they did everything that they possibly could to the limit? Is that what that means? Or does go ham mean some kind of like chaotic quality?
See, I always thought it in the same terms of if someone said they went hog wild, right? Of just like, but okay, here's the way, here's an example I would use that I think connotatively perfectly sums up what I think of when going ham. It's like if you see in like a superhero or action movie or something, right? A scene where like the good guy is being faced with these insurmountable number of bad guys. And it's just like, all right, let's turn it up. And like everything they do is like perfectly orchestrated and choreographed. And like they're firing all cylinders using every like tool at their disposal to like defeat every bad guy in front of them.
Okay, and so taking it to its absolute limit.
Sure. Yeah. But I usually, my connotation usually has to do with like some kind of physical exertion, sports, okay, or, you know, fighting or something like that. I don't know that I'd ever be like, oh man, today I'm going to bake some bread and go ham on that bread. Like, I think I would do that if I was being, you know, funny.
Okay.
I guess if I baked like 27 loaves or something, I'd be like, you went ham on bread today.
Okay.
Are you okay?
Sure. Bacon and ham on bread today. Delicious.
Hey, you put bacon on ham today. I'm worried about you. That's too much. Speaking of going ham, you could go ham with your support for Max Fun Drive. You could really just go
take it
whole
to
hog.
Its limit.
Yeah. So stop your hissy fit and go ham, whole hog, in your support of the podcast you love. I don't actually think you're having a hissy fit. I'm so sorry I said that. Don't worry about it. MaximumFun.org/join. Here's how it works. Let me tell you, friends, you might be sitting there thinking, ah, $5 a month, that's all I can do. I feel bad. It's not even worth it. They don't even care. One, we do. We do very much care, because what I love about the Max Fun model is it's about the show, right? And it's about the listener. And we do advertisements. You've heard them on most, if not all, Max, you know, McElroy Max Fun shows. But the focus is on the network, and the focus is on the listener, and the focus is on the show, right? Like, Max Fun would not exist if it weren't for Max Fun supporters. And so it really makes it a much more connected kind of organization, where we are, you know, we do the show because we know you like it. You know, and we got two kids and stuff comes up. Kids get sick. It's hard to schedule naps sometimes. It's hard to find time to record. But we know that this show matters to people because of support you've shown us throughout past Max Fun Drive. And we have been able to do things like bring in Alex as our researcher so that the show can be prepped and ready on time. We brought in Rachel Jacobs to help us edit the show and get it out there on time. All of this stuff because of support from listeners like you. And so every little bit helps. Every supporter helps. And it means a lot to us and to the network and to... I don't know, Jesus. So no. Go to MaximumFun.org/join. Choose the level that's right for you. So I already said $5 a month is going to get you access to over 350 hours of bonus content, audio and video, from all Max Fun shows, from every Max Fun Drive we've ever done. Now at $10 a month, you're going to get access to that bonus content. You're going to get a Max Fun membership card, and you're going to get to choose a beautiful show-specific patch from every show on the network designed by Merritt Bondaroo, so you can show off your favorite Max Fun show. And I'll tell you this, I just saw this confirmed on, I believe it's called Twitter. Max Fun was talking about, at the end of the drive, if you want to buy more patches, you can.
Let me describe our patch to you.
Please do.
So it is round. It is small.
Uh-huh.
Like most of the patches. But our patch has the word schmanners in it.
That's how you can tell. Yeah.
Surrounded by some intricate vine design.
Beautiful. Isn't it beautiful?
It is ivy-esque and hidden, not quite so hidden, but artfully designed and hiddenly, is a dove and a deer. for you and me, my love.
I love that very much. Now, I am worried that we're skewing a little bit into Home Shopping Network territory. Listen, man, there's only about 20 of these left, man, so you need to call that number at the bottom of the screen. Don't want to run out of these. I don't know why I went to the knife show one.
Yeah, I don't know.
And now, at $20 a month, you're going to get the patch of your choice, the Max Fun membership card, and the bonus content. And you'll get to choose between either a beautifully embroidered hat with the embroidered Max Fun Rocket logo or a Max Fun creativity pack that will help you get into the creative headspace and live your life to the fullest, or at least, you know, a little more creatively. Artist and Max Funster Ellen Vandermeide illustrated a beautiful deck of 54 cards in the Max Fun Inspiration Deck. Each one has an activity suggestion from your favorite host or pals at Max Fun, designed to inspire you to enjoy friends, nature, food, you time, making some art, and other kinds of fun. The kit also has a set of three postcards, a piece of non-hardening modeling clay, and a custom black wing pencil to encourage you to make your thing. There's other levels too, but you know, maybe one of those sounds right to you, or maybe you've been a Max Fun supporter for a while now and you're ready to increase your membership and go up to the next level. We would appreciate that too. Or you can just boost your membership, add a little bit extra on there without making it all the way up to the next level. We appreciate that as well. All of that means a lot to us and to Max Fun. So go to MaximumFun.org/join. Okay, what's the next one, Teresa?
A pop, as in $50 a pop.
Okay, this one has to be about soda. Okay, wait, hold on. So a pop is like each, right? So if you said $50 a pop, it means $50 each, right? It's got to be about soda, right? It's got to be soda.
This was submitted by Daisy B., and how much it costs for an individual unit of something, right? No one really seems quite sure. It definitely existed before soda pop.
What?
Yes. But it was just a shortening of the word a piece, right? So it's just a slang kind of nuance to the word a piece, because the P is very plosive, a piece, a pop. You just extend the plosiveness.
Okay. I'm mad at old-timey people that it's not about soda pop. I feel a burning anger in my heart. I feel like they let me down. I feel like it is about soda pop and they won't admit it.
No, it happened way before carbonated drinks.
Okay, now this one is so common, and also I think such a like common bit in like cartoons and stuff, and it's everything but the kitchen sink, right? And it means like basically everything they could think of, right? Or something like that.
So Paul sent this one in, Paul S., and I think that the most important part to stress is it's not just about everything you can think of. It is about pointing out the redundancy, right, of everything and everything else, right?
It's, yeah.
That's the way that the idiom expresses the extent of the redundancy by pointing out that and everything else.
Okay, so not just everything you can think of in a logical way, but then also stuff that doesn't even make sense to solve the problem. Just like everything you could think of, right? But everything you could think of and then some. But I always think of this as like the punchline in cartoons is always like, it threw everything but the kitchen sink. And then like the kitchen sink gets thrown at them and like that's the joke, right?
Right. This is one of these great idioms where you can use it as everything but the kitchen sink, but it also is used everything and the kitchen sink, but they both mean pretty much the same thing, right?
Yeah, okay.
And so the origin has a couple of theories, right? That the kitchen sink is connected to the pipes of the walls of your house, so it would be nearly impossible for someone perhaps robbing a home to take the actual sink because it's connected to the house.
Okay.
Right? So they could take everything in the room except for the sink. So everything but the kitchen sink.
That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense to me.
And then I guess that is one case where the idiom everything and the kitchen sink, I mean, does it also work, or at that point, are you complimenting the robbery?
Oh, see, they even took the roast beast. Oh, it was right. Incredible, everything that they did. That was amazing. Maybe.
So here's another theory, that this actually comes from the Sears and Roebuck catalog.
Yes, this is a big deal.
And if you're not familiar, we should do a show on this, but if you're not familiar, it was the first advertisement of its kind that was an entire catalog of literally everything that one might need in a home of that time. It was circulating in America, in the U.S., in around 1888, and it was so prolific. The catalog was so immense that it was often used as toilet roll.
Oh, wow.
Because okay. It just kept going and going and going. And so for nearly 40 years, the advertisement for the catalog was, everything is included, even the kitchen sink. Because Sears and Roebuck also sold homes. They sold fully fab houses.
Huh.
From this catalog. You could just go. I mean, it's almost like the original Amazon, right? You could just go and order the entire house. You pick out the model you want, and they send it all to you in pieces.
Wow. I normally come out of these, like, what, two plausible theories where I'm like, I think it's that one. But one is very much everything but the kitchen sink, and the other one is everything and the kitchen sink. Makes complete sense to me. Maybe it's Teresa. What if it's both?
Yes.
Okay, great.
We will accept that. We will accept that it's both.
Now, this idiom made me think of one that I'm going to, like, give you a fill in the blank, right?
Okay.
Because I have heard so many different people phrase it a different way. If you were going to say all of the people were there, you would say it was everyone and their blank.
Well, I would say everyone and their brother.
Okay, great. Thank you. I've heard everyone and their dog before, where I'm like, that doesn't make any sense within the that it's supposed to be everyone and their brother, which is the ridiculous part of the statement to show how many people it was. Because if right. everyone was there, the brother would be there too. So it's everyone and their brother. And when I hear people say like everyone and their dog, I'm like, that means nothing. Now, well, I need everyone to tweet at SchmiedersCast and let me know which one you always said or always heard.
Is it because not everyone has a brother, but everyone loves dogs? Is that it?
But not everyone skins cats either, but we still say more than one way to skin a cat. And see, the idiom is everyone and their brother. Or everyone and their, I don't know, dad. Everyone and their
best friend. I've also heard everyone and their mother.
Okay. I'll accept that one as well.
I mean, that makes more sense to me because mother and brother sound similar.
Yeah.
All right. Here's another one. Chip on your shoulder.
So this, now when I think of this, I always think of it as like someone who thinks they're better than someone else. But I've also heard it used a lot as like someone who is like looking for an argument, or they're maybe a little like, you know, huffy, a little easy to annoy, something like that.
I don't know if I've heard of it as someone who is easy to anger. I'm thinking more of someone who is ready to antagonize others.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's somewhere in there, right? But I always think of chip on your shoulders like thinking you're better than everyone else. That's what I thought, but
I think that that's in there, right? Yeah. Because if you're ready to kind of like, to use another idiom, to poke the bear.
Uh-huh.
Then I think that maybe you think that you are, you know, you're infallible.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I see that.
Yeah.
Hey, and listen, take it from us. Leave bear poking to the professionals. Everyone thinks I'm going to be the one to poke the bear. I didn't need to go to 7 years of bear poking school to do it myself. Leave it to the professionals. It's such a strong, it's like an important skill set to have. And you think you know how to do it, but without the right tools and the right skills, it's just going to end up being messy. So please leave bear poking to the professionals.
So like many of our idioms, there seem to be a couple of origin stories in the same way as many comic book heroes. The first one being the chip on your shoulder is a schoolyard game. I had never heard this.
But it's like a literal thing, right?
A literal thing where in the 19th century in the United States, if a boy wanted to start a fight, just fight. I just want to fight with anybody. The game would be he would put an actual wood chip from the ground onto his shoulder and then would walk around and dare other kids to knock the chip off his shoulder. And then that would basically be like your duel. You're accepting the duel.
I wonder if that also is tied to knock your block off.
Oh, maybe.
Right? I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to knock your block off your shoulder. Oh.
Write it down.
Okay.
We shall look. The other one. The other one sounds a little less plausible to me. Chips used to be the slang for the leftover pieces of wood left on shipping docks. And when ships were made out of wood, and docks were made out of wood, it does seem that there would be a lot left over. And one of the perks of being a dock worker was that if there was leftover wood around, you could take it. You could take it home, use it for firewood or use it to build your own stuff or whatever, right? But in May of 1753, the management of these docks decreed that only chips that could be carried under an arm were allowed to be removed. They didn't like that all of their materials were being absconded with.
Okay.
And it stands to reason that you could stack bigger and more pieces on top of your shoulder where there's kind of like infinite upward room than you could underneath, where I guess if you're going to hold something, you really only have the length of your arm to be the limit, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And so chip on your shoulder became a phrase. If you were a dock worker carrying a piece of lumber on your shoulder, it was a sign that you were instigating a fight against the management. And it may have actually been the reason, one of the reasons, that the dock workers went on strike that year.
Interesting. Once again, maybe it's both, right? Maybe it started of like dock workers doing it in the 19th century or in the 1700s. And then like little boys emulating that kind of stuff when they, you know, in the 19th century. Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. Now, this next one is tie the knot, right? Which seems it's like getting married, right? And this is from Alex's list. And I haven't looked at the origin, but it seems pretty obvious to me that it would have to be like, it's tying lives together, right? It's making that bond, right?
Right. But specifically, this is related to marriage in the way of an old custom called hand fasting.
Excuse me?
Hand fasting.
Oh, where your hand didn't eat for a while?
Nah. Where you're actually tying cords or ribbons around two people's hands to bind them together.
Ah, like a three-legged race.
Exactly.
Except it's hands, arms, not
legs.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
You literally tie a knot around them to make them stay together.
But not like forever, right? Eventually
No.
It's symbolic.
They literally did it, but it's symbolic, and it is a big part of Celtic culture and also used today in pagan practices and Wicca and even, you know, some even more mainstream religious marriages are incorporating this symbolism. but that is literally what it is, tying a knot around your hands in the marriage ceremony came to mean tying the knot as marriage.
Can I jump to one? This is an international one, but it's one that's really close to my heart.
Okay.
And it is, let me see, hold on. Ryan C. wrote about the origin of God willing and the creek don't rise. Which is something me and my brother say to Appalachian idiom that basically is like, if someone says, are you going to go see that movie tomorrow? And you're like, well, God willing and the creek don't rise. Yeah, I'll be able to. Right. It's like, if all goes well. Yeah.
Well, and this probably has to do with the fact of like literally being able to get there. Crossing the creek has to do with you like being able to step on the stones and get across the water. Whereas if it floods, the creek rises and you wouldn't be able to cross it because it would be a river.
There you go.
Right? Right?
Yes. So it's we're relatively certain that it comes from Benjamin Hawkins. Hawkins was a senator, and he primarily worked as a mediator between indigenous nations and the U.S. government in the late 18th century. The president reached out to him at one point and asked him to come back to Washington, and Hawkins replied that he would, God willing, and the creek don't rise. And for a long time, people assumed that the phrase was about the Creek tribal nation and not the body of water, which is not the case. Now, some historians don't believe about that confusion, but he did have a relationship with the Creek nation and he did capitalize the sea. So that's where the confusion comes from. And it is, as you said, literally about, you know, when a time of like dirt roads and, you know, fording creeks and rivers and streams and stuff like that. It is literally, I will, if I can. And so Hawkins, he's often credited as the first one who said the phrase, but he definitely isn't. The first recorded use of this phrase comes from a newspaper in 1851 that read, "Feller citizens, I'm not accustomed to public speaking before rich, highfalutin audiences, yet here I stand before you a speckled hermit, wrapped in the risen sun counterpane of my popularity, and intending providence permitting, and the creek don't rise, to go it blind." And that's from Graham's American Monthly Magazine, June 1851. Now, this is around the time God Willing and Creek Don't Rise started making it into popular vernacular. So Alex thinks, and I agree, that Hawkins was being cheeky when he wrote this letter to the president, and he had a connection with the Creek people, and so that is why he was making a joke by capitalizing the C. And as Alex points out, it's not very funny. And it's especially not funny to joke about a tribal nation rising up. But there, we're not saying Hawkins is a good guy. Just a statement of fact of what happened.
Here's one that was submitted by B. Did you learn this in your foray into French? The phrase "c'est pas tes oignons."
No, but it's some is not. Let's see, it's not onions.
None your onions.
Oh God, that's so good. Is it like none your business?
Yeah, none of your business.
None
right?
your onions.
Tend to your own onions. Mind your own business.
Hey, these aren't your onions. These are my onions. Mind your own onions, huh?
That's right.
Oh my God,
none your onions. That's
so
what I like.
Good. Oh, my God. I love that so much. That's right up there with what do you call cheese that isn't your cheese?
Nacho cheese.
There you go. Yeah. Oh, my God. I love that.
I think that the reason that Nunya onions is so good is because of the rhyme, right? None of your business.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Right. It's fine. I like it. But Nunya onions is Picasso, right? It's great.
Yeah. I got so confused by what you're... Nanya, did Picasso say Nanya onions? Is what I thought you were saying.
No, just to you know, try and get with the kids.
Okay, let's run through. This is from Jessica T., who sent in a list of Australian vernacular that I love very much. Flat out like a lizard drinking means going or working hard as possible.
Which makes sense, because a lizard, you think about... They probably, in order to drink from, like, the ground, right? They need to get really, like, low to the ground.
And they probably drink as much as they can when they find it.
Probably. You know? Probably.
A few kangaroos / sheep lost / missing in the top paddock. I think you can probably figure that out. Somebody's not all there. A few kangaroos missing in the top paddock. I love this one. Dog's breakfast. Like use it a sentence, would be it's a dog's breakfast after the flood, and it means it's very messy or chaotic.
This is really good. I like that because, you know, you think about like a puppy kind of like going all the way into the food dish.
Right.
And just and like getting it everywhere.
Or when our kids are feeding them and get a little over enthusiastic in the pouring. Now this one, Jessica T included this one. I thought this was universal, but this is another one where if you have never heard this phrase before, please tweet at us and let us know, because I'm super curious. Pull the wool over your eyes, which is like to trick someone, right? And it's probably comes from sheep shearing, so we can go deeper into it. But please let us know if that's said where you come from, and we'll go into that in a deeper meaning to find the origin of.
I'd like to try. I think that it has maybe two connotations of lying, right? Because when you're a wolf in sheep's clothing, you put wool on top of yourself, right? Like as the wolf is hiding, he's wearing a wool blanket. And then pull the wool over your eyes. I mean, when you have woven sheep wool into a cloth, you probably can't see through it very well. Because I could imagine if you were shearing, you could hold that up. Maybe you couldn't see through it.
Oh,
I don't know.
Hold on.
There's so many possibilities.
Now, okay. According to the first thing I found on the internet. Okay, so wait. There's two different things I'm seeing here. One, the first explanation is that it was like pulling someone's hood down to distract them while you robbed them.
Oh.
And the other one is about judges in Europe who wore wigs out of wool. And it was like tricking them.
Oh. There are so many. So many. This is a great one. This is one we haven't done before.
And I like this one for personal reasons, because my best friend is named Michael Bradbury. But to do / pull a Stephen Bradbury. Stephen Bradbury was the first Australian to win a Winter Olympics gold medal for Australia, which, let's think about that for a second, right? Won a Winter Olympics medal from Australia, traditionally not a very snow and ice, icy place, right?
I would beg to differ. I'm not saying that it's very snow and icy, but Australia has all four seasons, don't they? They're just different from our hemisphere. Anyway,
sure.
Never mind.
But he came from last place for an upset win. And so to pull a Bradbury is to win unexpectedly. I like that one.
That has less to do with wool over your eyes, but I do appreciate that too.
Hey, everyone, why don't you pull a Bradbury and do something cool? Go to MaximumFun.org/join. Support the art and artists you love. Artists like, I don't know, me and Teresa, for example. Pick a support level that works for you. Become a supporter. Let us know. Tweet at us at SchrannersCast so we can say thank you. If you are already a supporter, you could think about upgrading or boosting your membership. Boosting is adding a couple of extra bucks to it. It won't take you up to the next level, but it will help support our show and keep it going for a long time to come. You can also go onto whatever social media you prefer and tell everybody about Max Fun Drive. Make sure they know that link, MaximumFun.org/joint. Teresa, is there anything you want to say to people about the Max Fun Drive?
Well, I would like to say that your support means a lot to us. And it's not just about monetary contributions and support. It's also the support where you share the show. Because if you don't feel like you can support right now in a monetary way, you can always support us year round by sharing the show and introducing other people to it to listen to it.
Well, there you go. Let's see. What's our normal wrap up? Not there yet. Thank you to Maximum Fun, our podcast home, obviously. You can check out all the other McRoy projects at macroy.family. Thank you to Alex, our researcher, without whom we would not be able to make this show. And thank you to Rachel Jacobs, our editor, without whom we would not be able to make this show. And thank you to you, our supporters and listeners, without whom we would not be able to make this show. Let's see. What else, Teresa?
We always thank Brent, Brentafloss Black, for writing our theme music, which is available as a ringtone where those are found. We thank Kayla M. Wassel for our Twitter thumbnail art. And again, our Twitter is @schmannerscast. We thank Bruja Betty Pinnup for the cover picture of our fan-run Facebook group, Schmanners Fanners. If you love to give and get excellent advice from other fans, go ahead and join that group today. And please, please, we love your topic submissions. Do continue to submit those to schmannerscast@gmail.com. Alex reads every single one of those emails, so say hello to Alex when you submit your topic or idiom.
And that's going to do it for us, so join us again next week.
No RSVP required.
You've been listening to Schmanners.
Manners, Schmanners. Get it?
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.